Our lesson today is concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we left off speaking to you about the thief upon the cross. The very last words that I spoke unto you were that we saw in this the sovereignty of God, that the one was taken and the other was left. See in this thief, my hearers, a wonderful example of the grace and of the mercy and of the pity and compassion of Christ. Here we have a man on the point of entering into eternity who all his life long had done nothing else but sin against God. And in the last few moments of his life, he was saved. He was given a promise that he would be in glory with Jesus Christ in paradise. Oh, let me remind you, my hearers, not to put off until the last day of your life what is so necessary for your eternal salvation. You know not how soon you may come to the end of your life. Lives are cut off in a moment. People drop dead instantly. Others are smitten by the hand of God with strokes. Their minds are deprived of their mental faculties, and they have no reasoning powers anymore. Some are laid upon a sick bed, and they are given yet to meditate and to think upon their past life. But oh, so few, my hearers, are brought to repentance in this particular time. Now is the time yet of repentance. John the Baptist came preaching a repentance, and may I, as a feeble servant, plead with you not to put off what is so necessary for your salvation. Have we here an example of what Christ can do? Or let me entreat you, my hearers, to use the same very words of this thief. Say to the Lord, Lord, now that you are in your kingdom, do remember me. You remembered this thief upon the cross. He prayed to you, and you did not turn him down. Please, Lord, do give ear unto my plea. Hear me and answer me. Oh, that every one of my hearers were putting up this petition in spirit and in truth. Oh, then, it is possible that he might give ear unto you and may reveal the same grace in your hearts as he did in the heart of this dying thief. And after this we read, there was darkness from the sixth hour unto the ninth hour. There was then 3 hours of darkness. The sixth hour is the 12 o'clock in the Eastern time, and it lasted to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this was one of the greatest eclipses that ever was upon earth. It is unusual for an eclipse to last this length of time. It was a supernatural darkness that God brought upon the earth. It was only in this particular hemisphere, around about Judah and the Holy Land. Eclipse normally lasts only about 4 minutes. And it was an impossibility that it was an eclipse, because eclipse, they happen entirely different times. The Jews celebrated their Passover when the moon was at its full. and it was impossible for the moon to cast its shadow upon the earth at this time so that there would be an eclipse. But God brought this darkness upon the earth at this time. One historian says it was the greatest eclipse that ever was seen in the world. The stars appeared at noonday in the sky and remained until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Christ then was concealed in darkness for 3 hours upon the cross. Darkness in Scripture means sin, ignorance, the kingdom of the devil. Death itself is called darkness, but likewise the hidings of God's face is darkness indeed. And this is what Jesus Christ experienced. His Father hid his face from him, and he hung between heaven and earth for 3 hours without the sensible presence of his Father's love and mercy shown unto him. Oh, at the end of this time he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Luther says, God forsaken from God. Who can understand it? Who can comprehend it? Oh, my hearers, every one of us deserves to be forsaken from God to all eternity. And Jesus, he bore this darkness, this hiding of his Father's face, so that sinners may be given to enjoy the face of God to all eternity in glory above. Did Jesus experience darkness? Then his saints likewise will also experience darkness here below. Oh, what a terrible thing it is to walk in darkness and to have no light. When all those things that we have experienced are concealed and hidden from our view, and sin, so strong and so powerful, overtaking us and laying us low and bringing us into such darkness that we fear that if we should die, we shall find ourselves in eternal darkness. Jesus then bore this darkness that his children may be again and again brought out of these states of darkness to enjoy the light of his countenance. And after this we read, and Jesus with a loud voice cried out, Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit. Here we have Christ again brought back unto the enjoyment of his Father's countenance. His faith entwined itself around his heavenly Father, and he could again address him as he began his agony upon the cross with, Father, forgive them. We find him when he left this mortal life saying, Father, oh, how sweet. What a wonderful word, Father. How many souls here long to be able to say, Father? Oh, we have lost God as our Father. God is our enemy. God is our judge. God is a God of wrath for every one of us outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, what an awful thing it'll be to die under the wrath and under the anger of God. Oh, not to know him in this life as our Father. Oh, then we shall meet him as that God who must punish us to all eternity for our sins. Oh, Jesus cried out, Father, into thy hands do I commend my Spirit. He in faith gave himself over into the hands of his heavenly Father, believing that his Father would not see his Holy One suffer corruption, but that he would surely again be given to arise from the dead. This teaches us, my hearers, that a Christian, when he is passing out of this mortal life, may, when given by the Spirit, also commend his spirit, as we read of the first deacon who was being stoned to death. He cried out likewise, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Oh, what a blessing when we are passing from this life into a state of eternity to cry out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." This only can be done by the Spirit of God, and because that Christ opened a way whereby Christians may be given likewise to commend their souls into the hands of him in whom they believe. And just as sure as Christ rose from the dead, they likewise will rise from the dead in that great day of resurrection. He who came to them in this life, who regenerated them by his Spirit, who planted in their souls eternal life, he likewise will take care of them while they are moldering in the dust. And when that glorious day shall come and he shall appear, then we who have been given to believe in him shall likewise appear with him and be taken up to be with him in glory above. Oh, this is the hope of every living soul who has been given in this life already to give himself over, soul and body, into the hands of this faithful Redeemer. And my hearers, we find that after he had died, then there arose a certain disciple by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a counselor. He was a wealthy man. He was a senator. He was in the Jewish Sanhedrin. But he was a fearful creature. He was afraid to come out for the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. He concealed himself and concealed what was going on in him for fear of the other members of the Sanhedrin, for fear that they would probably speak against him and treat him probably with hatred and with indignation. How many secret disciples have I here? Oh, I wish there were many like this man. There are some. Oh, there are some whose hearts have been wrought upon, who have experienced a divine change within, but they dare not come out. They dare not witness. They dare not speak in the name of Jesus Christ. They conceal it. They hold it to themselves for fear of creatures, for fear that they may be wrong, that they deceive themselves. They have so many fears. They are secret disciples. Secretly, Jesus visits them at times, and through the medium of his precious word, he encourages them and strengthens their faith. But they are shut up, and they cannot come out. This man, Joseph of Arimathea, he was an honorable man. Read what the Bible says about this man. He was just, he was good, he was honorable. Oh, my hearers, can it be said of me and you that we are just, that we are honorable? Oh, and he was wealthy. He did very much for the poor and for those that were in distress. He used his money to the glory of God, and he lived a righteous life because the Bible says he was a just and an honorable man. See what a person can do and still be a concealed disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish every one of you were like that. That was this man, Joseph. And now the Lord put it into his heart to come forward. Oh, he received boldness. And he went to Pilate. Who knows when he got by Pilate what he did. Maybe he walked up and down in the front of the palace, daring at first not to go in, but finally he went in. And he pleaded with Pilate for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate marveled that he was dead already. And normally, my hearers, they used to let the people hang on the cross until they dropped themselves. Sometimes they set fire to them to burn them. But the Jews, being the Passover was coming on, they desired that the body would be taken down off the cross. And now Pilate, he consented to this Joseph, and he went back with Nicodemus, took the body down off the cross. What a work to do, huh? It wasn't a very pleasant task. But these were secret disciples. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was the last thing that they could do for him. They took him down off the cross. They washed all the blood off his wounds and everything. And they wrapped him in fine linen. And Joseph, he had had a sepulcher hewn out in a stone for his own family. And now he had so much love to Jesus, he would lay the Lord in that sepulcher. He had money to make another one. He didn't have to worry about that. And there they took the Lord Jesus Christ and carried him into this sepulcher. And now there were women likewise that went along with them. They followed Joseph and Nicodemus, and they seen just how they laid him in the grave. They watched this procedure. And after they had buried him, they took a great stone and rolled it in the front of the mouth of the grave. And then they departed, because the Sabbath drew nigh. They bought spices and various ointments on the way back to the city, and they decided that they would come back and embalm his body. And we find that these enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, they remembered far better than his disciples did what he had said. For he had said when he was alive that after 3 days he would rise again. And now these enemies, they went to Pilate. And they said, we remember that this man, this Jesus, had said that after 3 days he would rise again. Set a watch before the grave so that his disciples do not come at night and steal him, lest the last error be worse than the first. Pilate said, ye have a watch, set it yourselves. And they went and they set a watch before the grave. And they sealed the stone. They put a seal around it. Nobody was allowed to break that seal. If they did, they would be apprehended and they would be punished for it. We have then Jesus lying in the sepulcher with a watch, a Roman watch, around the grave. Soldiers watching so that the disciples would not steal his body. Am I hearers? We find that very early, on the first day of the week, there came to the sepulcher, as it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, and Salome. These women They had been with Christ when he was here upon earth. They had ministered unto his necessities. They had been with him and heard him speak, and had been given many times to be comforted and to be encouraged by the words that he spake. For many times he spake so many gracious words. Oh, wouldn't you have liked to live when he was here upon earth? Oh, wouldn't you have liked to have heard Jesus himself speaking? Oh, what a wonderful thing it must have been for those people who had life in their souls and who were given to listen to the gracious words that flowed from his lips. My hearers, have you ever had a gracious word in your heart from him? Has he ever spoken to you in this life? Do you know what it is to hear his voice? Or do you say sometimes, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely? My hearers, and we find these women busy very early in the morning coming to the grave. Oh, they had such love and affection to Jesus. They had the grace of God in their souls. And they came with that intention of anointing and embalming the body of Jesus. And as they were coming along through the streets, they were talking with each other and saying, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? For they knew that this stone had been placed there. This was an obstacle in the way, my hearers. These women, they were in a very sad condition. Him whom they loved, in whom they had all their hopes and expectations, he had died. He had been murdered, he had been slain, and he had died on the cross. And he had been buried. And now, what were they thinking about? What was going on in their souls? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a death in the family? Have you ever lost one that you loved, that was near and dear to you? Maybe your partner in life? Oh, what sorrow, what grief. No one knows but those that have went through that. At that particular time, sometimes the people that experience that, they're overwhelmed with sorrow. They think they'll never get over it. They think in their sorrow, they'll probably die. But God is so good that he takes this away from them, and they are given again to revive from their sorrow. And these women are a type. If you have lost someone, then you know what that was. Oh, the grief, the sorrow that these women had in their hearts because he whom they loved had died. But now they came to perform this wonderful act, the last act that they could perform. And now they remembered this stone was in the way. This was an obstacle. My hearers, these women, they're a type of all those that are being taught by the Spirit of God. The minister this morning, he took away the whole lesson that we have for this afternoon. I thought I wouldn't have anything to say to you people. I thought I might just let him repeat the lesson this afternoon. These women, they were in sorrow. They were in grief. Because Jesus was dead. Every living soul experiences something, all of communion, of fellowship with God. When they are born again, when they are given to believe that God has a favor towards them, when he looks down from heaven upon them and gives them so many signs and so many tokens under the ministry of the word that he loves them. And their heart in return goes out in love to him. But then there comes a time when he withdraws himself. And all my hearers, that's an awful time to live through. Oh, that's such a sad state when those lively feelings are taken away, when we have no more exercises, that is, living exercises. Oh, we attempt to pray. We attempt to meditate. We attempt to get near, but we have no success. He has withdrawn himself. And oh, we think he'll never return anymore. Oh, how sad is such a soul. Oh, there isn't anything sweeter on earth than to have communion and fellowship with God and to believe that he loves us, that he has a favor towards us. And then when he withdraws himself, and when sin, fresh sin, oh, sin, that awful thing, gets the best of us, and when he hides his face, and when we look at ourselves, we say it can't be true. It's impossible. I deceived myself. I fooled myself. I should have never said anything about those things. I should have kept it to myself. Oh, such a soul is talking with itself. It's so sorrowful inside because it has lost that fellowship and that communion with God that it enjoyed. See it in these women. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been in such a sad and sorrowful state because you have lost the one that you love? You have no connection with him anymore, no communion with him anymore. Everything seems to be shut off. He seems to be dead, just like the women. It doesn't seem like there's a living God anymore for your soul. The women, they came to the grave. And they were worrying about the stone. And oh, there's so many stones in the way by us, my hearers. There's one stone, and that's unbelief. Oh, what an awful stone that is. That robs us of everything. And oh, we can't overcome that stone. We can't roll that stone away ourselves. Oh, it isn't like so many people today. They can believe so easy. Oh, if they didn't believe anymore, they would drown themselves, they say. But the Lord has to give us to believe. We can't believe ourselves. My and your believing historically doesn't save us. It doesn't help us. But when he gives us to believe, then that stone of unbelief is rolled away. Oh, what a glorious experience. If it's only for a moment or two, that we feel again the nearness of God and our hearts go out to him. We are delivered from that stone that lies upon the mouth of our soul, upon that grave here within. Oh, what an awful stone is a hard heart, my hearers. You ever have any trouble with your heart? That it's so hard that it's like a stone. Nothing wants to melt it. Nothing wants to break it. Went to the hospital to see an old member of our church. Probably the oldest one we got. She was operated on. She used to be here every Sunday. Went to see her. Oh, she says, "You're such a good man," she says to me, and I smile. She says, "I have such a hard heart." And I was so pleased to hear that. You know, very few people have any trouble with their hearts. You have any trouble with your heart that is so hard that it don't want to break, that it don't want to melt? All God's people have trouble with their hearts. Oh, what a stone that is, my hearers. You can't make your heart break yourself. You can't soften it. But Job says, "The Lord softened my heart." And oh, what a wonderful feeling that is. When God softens a sinner's heart, oh, it just melts him into contrition at the feet of Christ. Oh, my hearers, I hope that God may give you all a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a heart that goes out unto him in affection and love and desires and longings. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when the heart is melted and it goes out again. You know, when the heart is so hard, nothing goes out anymore. And we think that our heart will never be made soft anymore. It's going to remain that way. And then sometimes so suddenly, so quickly, the heart is broken. Sometimes one word, one smile, one whisper from the Lord, and the heart is contrite. Oh, to live every day with a broken heart is the desire of all God's people. My hearers, are these stones that are in the way? Oh, my hearers, I could say some more about stones. You know, sometimes the world is like a stone. You know, the world has so much attraction for us, and our hearts go out so after the world, and soon before we know it, we're entwined in the world. We're embedded in it. And all my hearers, your love for the world cannot be broken except as the love of God again be poured out in your heart. All our flesh loves the things of this world, and it would bury itself in it, and it would never return to God anymore. That's our nature. That's our flesh. But when God, by his love, comes again, then the stone is rolled away, and we find, love not the world, nor the things of this world. For the world and all that is therein shall perish. And all we are given again to see what the world is and what we have been doing in it. These stones we encounter on the way to Jesus. Any trouble about them, my hearers? These women, they were concerned about it. And it's only the living in Jerusalem that are concerned about these stones. And now when they came to the grave, something wonderful had happened. God had sent an angel down. And at the same time, there was a great earthquake. And my hearers, this angel, he came to the door of the sepulcher, and he rolled the stone away, and he opened the door so that Christ could arise from the dead. He had said when he was alive, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. And now the Father sent this messenger down to open the way for Christ to arise from the dead. And he came forth out of this grave, triumphing over death. Oh, wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, he came forth, and he went out of this grave, walking in his own power. He who had been dead was alive again, to live forevermore. Oh, this precious Savior, he was concealed while these women came to the grave. When they came to the grave, all their concerns were gone, because they immediately saw that the stone was rolled away. And they met this angel sitting on the stone. And when this took place, we read that these watchmen, they became like dead men. They were so frightened. They were frightened stiff because this angel appeared so suddenly, so quickly. This proves to us that we that are in the flesh cannot abide by the presence of such heavenly beings. And now these women, they were likewise frightened by the sight of this angel. And he spake unto them, and he said unto them, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus who was crucified. all my hearers. He spake such wonderful words to these women. Words of comfort. Words which proved unto them that it was known in heaven what was going on within their hearts. Fear not ye. Do not be afraid of me. Do not be frightened like those men. Oh, my hearers, these fear nots are so plentiful in the word of God, because God's people are always filled with certain fears. And now this angel saying unto them, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. Oh, my hearers, my time is almost gone, but I would like to direct this word yet to you. Could it be said to you, what it was said to these women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Are you a seeker of Jesus? Have you been given to see by faith that in him alone there is salvation and in no other? Has God set you to seeking after this precious Jesus? Have you many fears that it's not true, that your seeking isn't right, that your seeking probably is only up here in your head because you read so much, because you hear so much, because you know that if you die that way you're going to be lost? So you start seeking yourself, and you think maybe it's all my own work. It's all wrong. I've done it myself. You ever had that, my hearers? Or the devil, he comes to us so many times, tries to prove to us that we're all wrong, that it's all of ourself, that we might just as well let it go. There's no use anymore. Ah, fear not. Fear not, soul. If you are seeking Jesus, it's known in heaven. Believe me. There isn't anything concealed from God. He knows what's going on in your heart. And the angel spake this to the women to comfort them, to prove unto them that they were seekers after Jesus. Oh, how many seekers of Jesus have I amongst my hearers? I'm afraid there are so few. Could I pick them out? Are there one, two, or three amongst my hearers? It'd be a wonder of the eye. Believe me, they're so rare, they're so scarce, they're so few that seek after Jesus. Oh, he's the pearl of great price. He's the one that they need. Oh, I would try to encourage every soul that's seeking Jesus, because I'm a seeker myself. And all we need encouragement. Oh, seeking soul, believe me, God knows what goes on here in your heart. He knows the sighs, the groans, the longings, the feelings that you have after Jesus. And he knows the fears that you have, that you are afraid you'll never find him. You're afraid that you're going to die before you find him, and that it'll be lost for you forever and ever. Or have you no fear sometimes that you might die, and it'll be a lost matter? All my hearers, we need Jesus. The women came to the grave, and they came and they found what? He wasn't there, he was gone. And so you come to the grave of your heart, and you don't find anything there. It's empty, it's void. There isn't anything to be found in that grave anymore. All my hearers, this precious Jesus must reveal himself unto us as he did unto the women, or otherwise we will never find him. But what a blessing if you are seeking him. This angel had some more comforting words to these women. Oh, he had such wonderful words that they should return to the disciples and tell them, and then they would see him. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue our lesson from this point. May the Lord bless what we have been speaking about to your immortal souls, But that's all for today.